Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Greetings, listener dear. I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
I'm Matthew, and welcome to another episode of Pappy's Flatshare Slamdown. Hooray!
Oh, the flagship, the ship with the flag on it of our podcasting output.
Absolutely. It was wedged in a canal, but now it's been dislodged and is sailing directly into your ear canal.
Absolutely.
From the Suez Canal to your ear canal with nothing in between.
Absolutely right. And that's a reference, actually, that's going to get a lot of mileage coming up in the episode. And what an episode it was! We had two of our great mates there to help us make it, Susie Ruffle and John Robbins. Oh, hi, hey!
I don't think you should be doing Robbins' catchphrase. He gets a little, he's very possessive about his catchphrase of, oh, hey! I mean, he got it when Jerry Lewis died. He was inherited off of him.
That's how catchphrases work, is it?
That's what happens, yeah. We just fingers crossed for K and then we get garlic bread. if you enjoy this podcast and you would like to hear more of us nattering away, then please go to the Patreon and join today. patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare. You can get our Flatshare lockdowns, which were a lot of fun. We put one out on the main feed. If you haven't listened to that already, go back on the main feed and listen to it. A lot of fun. And the next Flatshare Slamdown we should talk about over Zoom is happening on April 20th. So tickets are available now.
Oh, yeah. And you get a pound off if you're a Patreon member. So it's a good time to hop on board.
You certainly do. Go to eventbrite.co.uk for tickets. The show features Tony Law and Evelyn Mock. Yes. It's going to be a good one.
It's going to be an absolute treat. Hop along, join us for a lockdown and on Patreon, and join us for a slam down on YouTube. Otherwise, enjoy this episode and we'll see you on the other side.
Tom, Ben!
What is it, Matthew?
What is it?
Oh, guys, listen, one of you two has got to change the locks.
Oh, mate, it's not going to be me.
No.
Last time I tried to change the locks, I ended up sinking a barge.
Oh, Clarky, what about you?
Winched halfway down.
What about you? That's topical, straight from today's papers. What about you, Parry?
Clarky, you've had a good couple of goes at getting a Suez Canal tweet away, haven't you? You've been trying to crack those GIFs on Twitter. I've seen a few of them now, and I'm like, you've seen them. Still going
funnily enough, Tom, you haven't liked or retweeted any of them, though. That's strange.
Well, look, it's not going to be me, Matthew, because I don't know why, but I'm not going to be changing the keys or the locks.
Okay, Tom, always great when you've done a little bit of prep before the show. Well, there's only one way to settle this. We're going to have a
Flatshare Slam Down.
Hello and welcome to Flatshare Slam Down, the panel show that says, in my imagination there is no complication, I dream about you all the time. In my mind a celebration, the sweetest of sensation, thinking you could be mine. In my imagination there is no hesitation, we walk together hand in hand. I'm dreaming you fell in love with me, like I'm in love with you, but dreaming's all I do. If only they come true, I should be so lucky, 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 lucky. I should be so lucky in love. I should be so lucky, 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 lucky. I should be so lucky in love. I'm the host and landlord, Matthew Crosby. Let's meet the keyhole peepers. It's Tom Parry and Benedict Clark.
Hoi, hoi, hoi.
Hey, guys. Now, listen, you can't change the locks on your own. Who have you brought to unlock the power of teamwork tonight? Ben.
I bought my best friend of all time. It's John Robbins.
John Robbins is here.
Hello.
How are you doing, John? It's nice to see you.
It's great to see you all as well. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you. Now, are you a what's your lockdown situation? Who are you sharing a flat with? Are you living on your own? I know you've got a lot of Queen memorabilia.
Well, that's because I
company
am
enough.
Living on my own, dee-do-de-de. I don't have no time for no monkey business. Actually, I do, and that's why I'm here. I've got so much time for monkey business.
You've got nothing but time for monkey business.
So I've been. Well, I live alone anyway, but been seeing me and my girlfriend are in a support bubble.
Guys,
because we support each other.
That's lovely, actually.
And how does the support manifest itself? What are you doing for her? What's she doing for you?
Without
going into too much detail.
Just DM me some pictures.
I guess I'm doing the cooking. She's doing the being really sort of chilled and kind. I'm
right.
also kind.
Right.
But I'm more of a cook than a kind.
Sure. More cooking than kindness.
Yes.
But you gotta be careful. You can kill with kindness. You do realise that.
You can kill with cooking.
You can actually
kill with cooking. Famously.
Famously, you can kill with cooking. What are your specials?
Curry and just loads of different types of curry at the minute.
Can I ask you this? Now, you spent an entire day making a gravy. Is that right?
Yes.
Because I know this because I think you might have put it up on Twitter, and our friend Josh Widdicombe screen grabbed it, sent it to me and said, what it must be like to not have kids.
Well, it's a mixed blessing. So I have like a WhatsApp group for our radio show with Dave and Ellis, and they were sort of asking me to do stuff, and it was about 1 o'clock, and I said, yeah, don't worry, I'm going to do it. I'll do it at 3. I'm just going to have a nap for 2 hours. And that does feel quite good, to be able to have a 2-hour sort of nap halfway through the day. But on the other hand, very, very quiet and not a lot to do.
Yeah.
I've heard that the kids, you know, people love their kids a lot.
Yeah. I mean, they also have a 2-hour nap. You could have it while the kid was having a nap.
That's true. But the gravy is essential to to a really good homemade curry. So if you went into the kitchen of a curry house, they'll have all of the spices lined up, but they'll have a huge vat of this base gravy. And, and it takes a few hours to make, and your house absolutely stinks of onions, but I don't mind it because it's just me here.
And how much, is that what you've got now in your kitchen? You've got like a vat that every dinner starts with that, regardless of what you're eating.
Yeah, the freezer is full of about sort of 20 portions of this. But the other day I made a curry with 50 bulbs of garlic in it just for me.
What? Wow. What?
Yeah, it's a special curry recipe which should have 100 bulbs of garlic in, but because
but you're
it was
on a
just
diet.
One, it was just one portion, so I just did 50.
Was wow. it nice?
It was. Do you know what?
A little bit garlic in.
You know when you have a roast and you get.
Do you know what,
roast...
how long it's taken you to answer this? Has told me everything I need to know.
Is the answer?
Yeah.
But you know when you have a roast bulb of garlic in a curry and it's just like so tasty. Imagine having an entire sort of bowl of that flavour. It's very tasty, but it's intense.
Did you finish
it? It stays intense. Yeah, of course I finished it.
You ate
it.
All 50 bulbs of garlic.
Didn't that do something horrible with your guts?
Oh, yeah. Christ alive. Absolutely out of this world.
And your ass. Yeah.
What's hilarious is, because if you have sensitive guts, the two of the things that are worst are onions and garlic. It's like first mouthful. As soon as I swallow it, I farted. And it was so fun.
It was a cry for help is what it was. It wasn't a fart.
It just continued at pace.
It was your arsehole going, please kill me. And not with kindness.
Oh, great days.
Parry, who have you brought along with you this week?
Well, listen, the Jamboree's in trouble, everyone. It's struggling to exist online. It's hard.
Yes, it's
hard.
It's
hard to have a Jamboree online. So, but I've brought along someone who is going to advise us on our Zoom etiquette, and she demonstrated it so effectively earlier, because whilst we were having that little chat, she started to sneeze, muted herself, sneezed, and then unmuted herself absolutely seamlessly. It was it was fantastic. The one and only Susie Ruffles here, everybody. Susie.
Hi. Susie, I've got to ask you, what's the most bulbs of garlic you've put into one dish?
I would say probably just the two.
Yeah, that's usually... Yeah,
and that feels excessive, doesn't it?
That does make me feel like I'm a big shot. Yeah, it's going all right, I can put in two
really
bulbs.
You're pushing the
it.
Boat out with two, aren't you? You're pushing the boat out, to quote one of Clarkie's memes this afternoon.
So Susie, what kind of a person are you to live with?
A bit of a ledge.
How does that manifest itself? Kindness, cooking?
Neither of those.
Killing?
No, I'd say I think I'm quite annoying, if I'm honest.
Right. Do you find yourself annoying?
No.
Right.
I think I'm great.
Yeah.
I need sort of constant attention and sort of praise. So I got into stand-up.
Can I just say, Susie, you're doing a wonderful job on the show already. I love the way you... Do you know what? That bit you chipped in earlier on was absolutely fantastic. It really was.
Thanks, mate. No, I think I'm quite...
Like a puppy.
In the morning, my girlfriend would be like, let's just...
Do you reckon you're a bit much?
Yeah. Yeah, but I kind of hate it when people say that, because it feels like they're talking about me. Also a narcissist. No, but I think I'm quite like it's the moment I jump out of bed, I'm like, what should we do? Where should we go? Should we have a cup of tea? I'm going to have three digestives this morning. Fuck it. And I think Alice is just a bit like, it's a bit of an assault on the senses. And I think
How's lockdown? Yeah, I was going to say, how's lockdown been for you?
Like, I think it's been fine. I mean, she doesn't live here anymore, but I think it's been fine. No, I think it's been fine. I mean, there were days where like Alice has a proper job and I'm available now. So yeah. And this is work in my diary tonight.
Yeah, ditto.
So I think that there was a day when she had a Zoom call that was really important, and it was the day that was about finance, and it was the same day that I thought, I'm going to see if I can roller skate around the flat whilst holding the cat to video it for a fun little Instagram vid.
Do you feel like it's a little bit, I find this as well, because I, you know, work from home. It's quite exposing having someone who's got a real job in the house all the time, because there's always a counterpoint for somebody actually doing some active work. And what I consider to be quite a productive day, I've realised, is I probably do a grand total of, if I've done 45 minutes of writing, that's a really strong day. And it won't be sitting down for 45 minutes. It'll be 45 minutes stretched out between 8 a.m. and 6, you know. It's really bad.
I quite like sitting down and getting stuff done. But I think that like I'm annoying in that like I'll be singing around the house. I'll be saying, Alexa, play Magic at the Musicals constantly.
Sounds like a dream.
I mean, it's an absolute dream. But so it's me, Alice, and the cat, and these guys, who are the figurines that Alice says are not allowed in the lounge.
Right. Yeah.
So they have to go in your Matt Hancock cupboard you've got going on there.
Yeah.
They're all yours, are they?
My flag's just out of shot. I'll bring it in if you want.
My flag's hiding my fuse box, actually. So I'm going to keep flying it.
I've got a queen flag.
Of course you have.
I'm not surprised.
It'll be draped over your coffin when you're buried at sea.
Did anyone have that sentence in John Robbins' Bingo?
Well, we've met our guests anyway. Let's crack on with round one. Let's find out who's got the key and who's got the secret as we play round one.
I've been out drinking, wasn't thinking about my keys until I got to my front door. I must have fucked up, cause I looked and they are not here. What'll I do? Cause I gotta poo. You know I gotta break in. I gotta break in.
I don't wanna be locked out. You know I gotta break in.
Foo Fighters, yes. There. I should have let you back reference that, John. This round is called Lockety Lock. Now, it's a working of the classic TV game show Blankety Blank. I'm going to give our players a sentence with a word or phrase missing from it. All you've got to do is tell us what word or phrase is missing from the sentence. If they get it right, I'll give them a point. I'll also award a point for an answer I particularly enjoy. And all of these sentences come from reviews of escape rooms. All right. So the first review is from Dimsley and it is titled Worst Escape Room. Here's your quote. We've always come out of other rooms absolutely buzzing, as they really are great adult fun. Well, not this one. We left feeling completely deflated. Wish I had a blank. We left feeling completely deflated. Wish I had a blank. Susie, we'll start with you. What do you think they wish they had?
Pump.
Yeah, I think that's it. That is.
I wish I had it. Yeah. I feel completely deflated. I wish I had a pump. Yeah, it makes
perfect
sense.
Did you guys also notice how Crosby really hit deflated? That's why I've gone for pump.
Oh, you thought I was extra selling it. I was just trying to sort of
He struggles with emphasis. It's been like, yes, he's failed. He has failed many auditions for that reason. So
I never know what's the most important word in a sentence. That's the problem with me.
Neither do I.
For the first few years, it was Pappy's Fun Club.
Thought the club was the most important bit. So you're going pump.
I'm going pump.
Parry. What are you thinking?
Wish I had a... I mean...
We left feeling completely deflated. I tell you what, we left feeling completely deflated. Oh! Does that change anything?
Oh, wish can I go back?
Okay, no, yeah. Pump, we've locked in pump.
I mean, this is where my head's at. I think because he says at the start, adult entertainment.
Mm. Right.
So I thought he might say, wish I had a kid. Because I think it's been too childish an experience.
Oh, right.
But then I feel like that's a weird parting sentiment.
It's a weird sentence. I'm not going to lie, Parry, it's weird.
Unless he suddenly just had this kind of thought, it occurred to him. He was like, oh, I'm in my 30s and I wish I had a kid. Like he gets distracted by his own life situation.
Weirdly, it's how he signs off all of his reviews.
Oh, I wish I had a kid.
Really enjoyed that pub lunch. Wish I had a kid.
Is that what you're going to go for? Wish I had a kid?
Wish I had not booked it. Does that work as a phrase? Like, wish I had a...
He's not Italian. Wish I had not booked it on my Don Mio day.
Today's the day I'm doing an escape room.
Wait, wish I had not booked it.
Oh, fucking imagine. You're booked to do an escape room and you get in there and the Don Mio family have booked in as well. Nightmare.
Absolute nightmare, Parry. That's what I'm thinking about.
Absolute nightmare.
Let's not.
My final answer is going to be hammer.
Oh, okay.
I love that you're brainstorming ideas so that by the time we get to Ben, there's just going to be
There's literally no words left.
Yeah. Are you just looking at things you can see in your understairs cupboard? Is that what it is? I felt completely deflated. Wish I had a hammer. Okay, it's a bold choice. Robbins, how do you like to play?
How do I like to play?
What word are you going to go for here?
Well, two of mine were quite similar to two of Tom's, so I'm going to go for rogue third option, which is escape room to call my own.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
Very wistful.
I wonder if he's been visiting escape rooms everywhere because he's never found sort of his own escape room of his own soul.
The escape room that's in all of us.
Yeah, he's looking for answers in other people's escape rooms, and in truth, he just wants to run his own escape room.
He just wants to unlock his own life. Okay, an escape room of my own, or Clarky. We felt left feeling completely deflated. Wish I had a...
key?
Yes, not a bad one. Not a bad one.
Just get out early doors, couldn't you? It's a rubbish escape room.
I can tell you now, we've always come out of other rooms absolutely buzzing as they're great adult fun. Well, not this one. We left feeling completely deflated. Wish I had a rewind button. would never have booked. They wanted to do a share.
I was
going to
go
in
time.
Yeah.
No, well, you imagine if he'd only rewound it to the start of the escape room and had to do it all again.
You'd have to rewind for absolutely ages, because presumably he didn't just rock up on the day. You've got to book ahead. He's rewinding it at least a day.
Mm.
I guess it depends what type of rewind button he's got. If he's got a cassette rewind button, then he's guessing, isn't he?
Mm. Yeah.
But other rewind buttons, you're going to know where you're at.
He doesn't. Dimsley doesn't specify what kind of rewind button.
I wish we had a rewind button, so we don't have to have this conversation.
Well, let's fast forward on to the next one. The next review is from IC3 Guy, and he calls it worst exit game ever. The first puzzle was ruined for us. The previous people who played this game had blank. Clarky, what are you thinking? The first puzzle was ruined for us. The previous people who had played this game had what?
Solved it.
Okay. Like, you think it might have been solved it? What about...
It's already solved.
What about you, Susie?
Left their workings.
Robbins.
Moved in.
and you're not going to believe it, it was the Dolmio family as well. Doesn't bear thinking
what
about.
What a mistake to make.
They walked in and there's just a family doing sort of like washing up and putting out the washing and playing around on the
floor. A lot of stuff with washing.
It was spotless. It was absolutely spotless. Parry, how about you?
I'm going to go for the shits.
Yeah, okay. The first puzzle was ruined for us. The previous people who played the game had the shits. It would certainly ruin it, but I can reveal that the answer is the first puzzle was ruined for us. The previous people who played the game had written the solution on the puzzle. I'm going to give a point to Susie, and I'm going to give a point to Clarkie as well. Congratulations. 2 points there. This next one is from Atrul. Gorgeous. A gorgeous celebration from Susie. This next one is from Atrul, and they've simply titled it Worst £44 Spent. I was expecting something else for this money. If you have money to spend on this, try blank. John, what do you think? I was expecting something else for this money. If you have money to spend on this, try blank.
Opening an ISA.
A classic Robbins answer, and a very smart one as well.
Absolutely, but unfortunately not a particularly a beneficial one in this chronically low interest rate environment we find ourselves in.
And also, how far is 44 quid going to go in an ISA?
Well, at 7% a year, that's going to be 88 quid in 10 years' time.
You make a very strong point. Parry.
Cocaine.
Yeah, I mean, sure. Try cocaine. For £44... you could get, you know, a lovely bit of... What could you get? 7 cocaines?
I don't know.
But you know what? If you got 7 cocaines in 10 years' time... you'd still have 7, because that's not how it works.
Susie?
Another?
I was expecting something else for this money. If you have money to spend on this, try another.
As in, like, another escape room, a different escape room.
Oh, okay, right, yeah. You could say a different escape. You could say try another escape room. That would I would also accept that. It could be a word or phrase.
Okay, fine. A different escape room.
And Clarky, what do you think?
A room you don't want to escape.
You know what?
A room you want to stay in.
I'm going to give you half a point for that, Clarky, because I was expecting something else for this money. If you have the money to spend on this, try some pubs. They're great. That was
that Robbins that wrote this?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm surprised Robbins, it could have gone one or two ways with Robbins. I thought that was a shoo-in for you.
How has Clarkie got half a point?
You're on my side.
Oh, great. Oh, well done, Ben.
I mean, I'm a little confused myself, but I'll take it.
I mean, I was going to say that last time round as well.
I saw your face last time round.
Absolutely.
So half a point to Clarkie, no points to anybody else. But, Tom, there's a chance to turn that around, because the final quote is from Kelly F., who warns us, do not waste your money. But why? Cheap props, no theatrics, attendant was not helpful, and the room wasn't blank.
I've had reviews like that.
Yeah, I know, I was going to say, we definitely have. Absolutely.
Cheap props, no theatrics, attendant was not helpful, and the room wasn't blank.
Locked.
The room wasn't locked. Susie, what do you think?
I think Parry's right, but I'm going to say lit.
The room wasn't lit. Right. You just do it in the dark. Strong. Yeah. Strong. Robbins.
Could you do the sentence again, please?
Cheap props. No theatrics. Attendant was not helpful and the room wasn't blank.
As advertised.
Sure, it could be. It could be. And Clarkey, what do you think? Cheap props, no theatrics. The attendant was not helpful, and the room
wasn't.
Does it matter? I've given him half a point for the thinking time.
Just give him a couple of points.
Beautifully, Clarkey.
Just give him a couple of points.
Have three quarters of a point for just being you.
Thanks, mate.
It's a pleasure.
I'm going to go with the room wasn't dry.
I'm taking away your three quarters of a point there, mate.
Oh, no, come on.
The Domio family had the shit, unfortunately. Today's the day. The Domio family have got the trots. It's terrible, I'm afraid.
Well, Parry, I tell you what isn't terrible. You've got the point, mate. Of course you have. Cheap props, no theatrics, attendant was not helpful, and the room wasn't actually locked. You could go in and out. Congratulations. It's time for us to escape round one. Producer Grin. Producer Grin. I'm going to call you Producer Grin because of your ever-smiling face. Producer, give us a grin. There he is. Oh,
very nice.
Rule Britannia, Producer Grin.
Listen, you haven't got a fight with the Evergreen from home too, have you? Because it really helped Clarky's course.
I'll see what I can do. Thank you, mate.
Producer Gwyn, what are the scores at the end of that round?
Scores at the end of that round are Ben and John have 1.5 and Tom and Susie have 2.
Oh, whoa! So Tom and Susie are in the lead.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But Ben and Tom, are they not? They're not yet locked out. Well, let's find out as we play Flat Games.
Games! Let's play together. Games! Let's play forever. Roll the dice, spin that thing. Put that there. Do as you're told. Games! If you lose, you get nothing. Games! If you win, you get gold. Gold, gold.
Yes, this week we're playing our version of a Choose Your Own Adventure game, which we're calling WWYD, or What Would You Do? The rules are very simple. I'm going to give our teams a situation. They will then guess how one of the players would deal with it. If they guess correctly, they get a point. Now, we'll start with John Robbins. I would like each team to guess how John would deal with this scenario. You've been booked for a high-profile charity fundraiser at a holiday camp. But when you arrive, you realise you've misread the small print. It's a nudist colony and they're expecting you to perform in the nude. What would John Robbins do? Okay, John, we'll leave you for a second. Take your headphones out and let's have the other team members having a chat about it. Okay, so Ben, John's on your team.
Yeah.
I'll let you go first. How do you think John would react to the news that he's going to have to perform in the altogether?
I think he'd just perform in the nude.
Do you think he'd just let
classic
it hang?
Let it dangle.
He's got it there, hasn't he?
He's
got a body under those clothes. He certainly
has. That's it. I mean, he's worked hard for it. Why not?
He's earned
why
it.
Why not show it off? You know, if you're that dedicated to eat 50 bulbs of garlic.
You've got to pray for the audience, really, haven't you?
It clearly must be just to get an amazing bod.
Just to get, yeah.
it just
why else would you do it?
A classic ripped, a sort of a six pack of garlic cloves, basically. Susie and Tom, what do you think? How would John react to that scenario?
I do agree with Clarkie in that I think that I think John would just front it out.
Have you seen? I was just thinking that. Have you seen Johnny JR? Has he ever got it out on stage?
I don't think no. We're not all in a sketch group, mate. Some of us are stand-ups.
But there've been some late night Edinburgh, you know, shows. Those
he's never had to work that hard to sell a show.
Has he ever got it out? That's the question.
No.
My suggestion was going to be he'd perform it, but he'd play it with like a bottle of beer there or something like that. So he would fulfil it, but with like a kind of cheeky loophole, like he's holding a photo of Freddie Mercury there or something for the whole time.
I think the can of beer. I think
a can of beer is a good call.
More like Ellis is like knelt in front of him the whole time.
Obviously facing forward.
Facing forwards. But like that. Like so, I think I guess the answer would be contractually, he would be nude, but at no point would he expose himself. I think he'd find a loophole to.
You put it in a loophole.
Okay, so we've got Clarkie who's saying, let it all hang out. We've got Susie and Tom who are saying, go for it, but protect your modesty in some way.
That's John, a good idea.
Tell us.
Oh, you weren't listening to that, were you? That's such a... Genuinely, I was watching that thinking, John's hating this. I was like, fucking hell. Oh, I think he's really upset about it. So it was like, oh, no, just
John didn't hear a word of that, so don't worry. He doesn't know how you answered.
That's such a relief. Such a relief.
But let's find out, John, how would you react in this situation?
So, just to confirm, I've agreed to do the charity gig in the first place.
Yes.
That's the unlikely bit of the story.
Yeah.
You said yes to a gig where you don't get paid. I mean, yeah, it doesn't sound like Robbins.
Is the charity based around nudity at all, or is it a total surprise?
It's a total surprise to you. When you arrive, you had no idea. You know, it's a Save the Rhino or something like that, and they want to see the horn.
A cursory glance at the lineup would have given you a clue. We all know the kind of lineup this gig would have, don't we?
Like, Phil Kay's on the bill.
Oh, well, Phil Kay's headlining.
Harry's doing a Type 5. Yeah.
I have once been nude on stage once before, and it's certainly not my biggest regret, but it's in the regrets pile.
How did you end up nude on stage?
It was at Spank.
Yeah, we were on that night. We saw it.
Of course it was. Of course it was. You did the nude MCing, didn't you?
Yeah, it was a bad... I came off and Will Hodgson went to me. I will never forget. He went, it's not fucking Ibiza, Robbins. And the nude... So they used to do a thing called the nude promo where you could plug your show nude for like 5 minutes or whatever, and they didn't turn up. So I think, is it Leon and James? James, I think, was always quite keen to get... No, Leon was always quite keen to get nude. And it was just the evening was going that way, but it wasn't a particularly pleasant experience.
James and Leon,
what year would that have been?
James and Leon very much belonged to that different time, didn't they? You say it was a different time, it wasn't that long ago.
I'd say it was probably 2009 or 10, maybe 8. Do you know what I think I would honestly do in the situation is I would try and find a replacement who was higher, like someone that they would be like, oh, it's a shame you can't do it, but that person's amazing. So I'd try and convince someone else to do it. And I have to say that Parry was my first choice.
Yeah, but I'm not higher. You can't... No one's going to go, John Robbins is going to do it, but don't worry, we've got Parry.
No, I think they would take...
delighted to see you swinging your stuff about on stage. They would be... Honestly, the only thing is you couldn't do your how to take a T-shirt off routine, Tom. That's the only...
How to put it on?
You have to.
Those nudists.
That could be the opening routine. Is how to take your T-shirt off.
Yeah.
What, so you go on stage like Winnie the Pooh?
Yeah, just with his t-shirt and his willy hanging out like Winnie the Pooh.
Get a jar of honey from somewhere. Yeah. Okay, so is your answer get replaced?
I'd get Parry to do it for me.
Right. You know what? Nobody got that right. Really? Tom and Susie thought you'd do it. Tom suggested that you might have like a can of beer to protect your modesty.
Or I'd have six cans to mean that I didn't care about my modesty.
Oh, fair enough. You could have had a can of beer beforehand, yeah. And Clarky, your teammate there, suggested you just do it, let it all hang out. But it's, you know, it's not 2010 anymore, Clarky. It's not 2010. No.
Said I'd do the gig. Naked.
Basically, everyone assumes you'd get your knob out. That's it. Everyone assumes you would.
No, I thought you'd do it, but never reveal your knob. I think you'd have.
Well,
like
are there
a way
like
of...
cameras at it? That's the thing, because there's one thing like having a crazy 20 minutes on stage, but if it's then on Twitter, that would be an absolute nightmare. It's there this forever.
This is the modern problem, isn't it? You see, have you got the smartphones in Ziploc cases like Jack White? Is Jack White performing at this gig? And has he banned smartphones?
I think in a nudist colony, it's not. It's not
well,
on.
Where are you
going to
hide your phone?
Filming it. Exactly. Yeah. Everything's back in the shallows, I think. I think, would you do it then? Would you do it if you knew that no one was going to film it? It was just for the 17,000 people in the stadium.
Well, if there's 17,000, very, very few of them are really going to see much.
No, there's screens, mate, there's screens.
Oh. Do you know what? If there was like a guarantee... if I could like cast a spell that no one saw it, then I probably would do it and have a few drinks and sort of vibe myself into it.
Yeah, enjoy it. It's just a body.
It's Crosby, just a are you body.
Trying to are you trying to engineer a way here to get Clarky points? Be honest.
Basically, I just feel like Clarky's he's not in the. I thought he'd be in the lead after that.
I know, this is unbelievable. You've managed to give me a point for every round and I'm still losing.
Are you trying to engineer a situation where this is nude Pappy's Flatshare Slam Down?
I don't think that's...
I haven't got trousers on.
Yeah, I mean, that's the joy of the Zoom, isn't it? You don't need it. Well,
Clarky, have you got trousers on or it's just the T-shirt and kimono?
Well, that's for you to find out.
It's a sex Flatshare Slam
yeah,
Down.
Yeah, that's all right. No, I do actually. I've got tracky bottoms on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm also wearing tracky bees.
I too am wearing trousers.
Yeah, I'm actually wearing six pairs of trousers.
I'm fully turgid.
Well, thank you for that. Susie, you're the next person up. You arrive. This is the scenario. So we're going to work out how Susie would react to this. You arrive home to find your partner has cooked dinner for your anniversary. The only problem is you'd completely forgotten. As you're both eating, they hand you a generous and thoughtful gift and then look expectantly your way. What would Susie do? Okay.
Headphones off.
Parry, we'll start with you, okay?
Susie gave a look then, which was more like, what has Susie done?
Yes, exactly, that's what I thought. This feels like this has happened already.
I think Susie would improvise a poem or something to be like, well, actually, I have written you this, and try and perform her way out of it with like a poem or something, or like a song.
Yeah, I think I think that's a good answer for a comment. I feel like that's what I could see us doing in that situation. Any one of Pappy's would try and go, oh, I've written you a song.
We sit down with our girlfriend.
I've got you this. I've thought of this poem for you, and here comes a poem that's coming out of her mouth. She's going to try and get out. I don't think she'd come clean. I think she's going to try and get her way out of it like that.
Right. Okay. So not being honest, but trying to improvise something.
Yes.
Clarky and Robbins, what do you think?
So just to confirm, the situation is that it's Susie's anniversary and she's forgotten.
The couple's anniversary.
They're both nude from the waist down.
But she's come back to find that she needs a present sharpish, basically.
Exactly, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I've got a fit. Well, I don't know if I'm just saying what I would do, but I'd be like, I think she'd be like, oh, I've got something great, but you have to wait until the weekend.
Right. And then what would you come up with for the weekend? Like, what could it...
A poem. But a really well-prepared one.
Right. You have a couple of days to do it. Robert, what do you think? You go.
Is it a case? Is it a case of saying, I'll go and get your present, and then going upstairs and hastily creating vouchers for, like, couple-y things,
oh,
which is sort of almost sweet, but also almost quite rubbish.
What kind of couple-y things are you doing vouchers for? What are you thinking?
Two massages for half an hour minimum. A day out at a place of your choice within the M25.
Right.
I owe you 50 quid. I'll get the next three big shops.
Oh, wow. These are really good vouchers.
Yeah. First,
you just take the 50 quid, and that's all right. That. Yeah.
First use of the shower for the next fortnight.
That's good. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think because you're panicking, you're going to give up a lot.
On you're going to go big.
Like, yeah.
They're going to get
the house, the deeds to the house.
My finger.
40 garlic bulbs. 40 garlic bulbs. I'm going to only have 10.
Okay, yeah, well.
That's good.
Okay, so we're going for improvising a song or a poem, postponing it. Well, Clark, I need the team to pick an answer.
I would definitely go with Robin.
You're going to go with the vouchers. Yeah, I think the vouchers is a smart move. Susie Ruffle, can you please come back? Susie, you arrive home to find your partner has cooked dinner for your anniversary. The only problem is you'd forgotten. As you're both eating, they hand you a generous and thoughtful gift and then look expectantly your way. What would Susie do?
I think I would lie.
Okay.
And say that I'd remembered.
Yes.
And I'd say something like, I've booked us to go and stay at the Savoy Hotel or somewhere fancy. And like, I'll say I've got a voucher or something. Ooh. And we're not going, and like, so I haven't booked the day, but I've booked it so we can do it. Is that what Robin said?
Do you know what?
Because his eyes just went really big.
No, that is really, really good, because Clarkie said basically postpone it to another time and say, oh, I've got this really big surprise, and Robin said vouchers. So I'm going to give you 2 points for that, because that was...
That was... What did Perry say? Come the fuck on, mate. We're on a team together.
He said improvise a poem.
Have you met me? I think poetry's boring. No.
Tom.
But you're panicking. You're in the moment. You're like, oh, I don't know.
What am I, an MC? I'm going to like...
You asked him to drop a beat.
So, Tom... If you're in that situation, you're panicking, you have to improvise a poem. What would your poem be?
Tonight is the night that you and I celebrate another year. Today.
I think at that point you should know that you hadn't written a poem.
I'd move into the Dolmio family.
Today's the day. Well, everybody loves a Dolmio family impression. I think she'd be really moved by that, actually, Tom.
It's not easy to do, is it?
It is tough, but you did it with aplomb.
Thank you.
Well, today's the day.
Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary, Clarky. Today's the day.
Oh, thanks.
Well, Ben, we're going to say goodbye to you in a second. Here is your situation. You're at a party and you see an old flame. They approach the group you're with and say, but aren't you going to introduce me? The trouble is, you've forgotten their name.
You're cutting straight to the core of Clarky here.
It's not a made-up scenario. It's a scenario I've been in with Clarky before, and I was cut to the quick that he couldn't remember my name. So the trouble is, you've forgotten their name. What would Ben do? Ben, headphones off. Ooh. Let's ask Robbins what you think. How do you think Ben would react to that situation? He's been asked by an old flame to introduce them to the entire group. Doesn't remember their name. What would he do?
Well, in this situation in the past, not with an old flame, but with someone I've met but don't remember, I do have a way. There is a way to do it, which is to say, oh, I don't think I got your number last time we met, so could I get your number? And they go, yeah, sure. And then you take the number in your phone, you say, oh, and what's your full name? Because you wouldn't have got their surname.
And you're doing, but wouldn't they still be going, aren't you going to introduce me to your friends?
There's a group of people watching this. Before I introduce you, I've just realised I've not seen you for a while, but I'd love to continue this by text. I see it's not a bad method one-on-one after you've had a bit of a conversation.
Yeah, it doesn't work with this group scenario.
I think if you're literally, if there's a pregnant pause in the air after the phrase, aren't you going to introduce
Hang
me?
On. And
you
whip She's out, pregnant.
No. wrong choice of words, but there's basically everyone's looking at you saying, well, obviously you're going to have to introduce.
Okay, so here's how I would do it. So I'm going to say this is how Ben would do it. So I would say, everybody, Kate, this is my dear friend. And then Kate, one of the people, would go, oh, hey, I'm Kate. And the person would then go, have to go. So you sort of force them to introduce themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Because
that's the classic tactic, yeah.
That's the classic, isn't it? The hope then that the person would go, oh, hello, I'm Samantha Mumba, or whatever, you know. Yeah. I don't want to.
As if we wouldn't know
exactly
who Samantha Mumba was.
Of course, yeah.
Let's not be silly.
I'm just trying to think of old flames that Clarkie doesn't mind us mentioning. that's a very strong answer from Robbins there. Ruffle, Harry Wicks, how do you play? What are you thinking?
I mean, what do you think, Susie? Have you?
Well, I think what John said is an excellent answer. And it's a very likely answer.
Yeah,
so I think we should go a bit of a curveball, and I'd say that Clarkie would just pretend to faint.
See, yes. That, I actually think, and I think actually we're closer to what the answer is going to be, because I think, no offence to the man, but I think what Robbins has presented is quite a complex solution to the situation. And I think in the heat of battle, I'm not sure Clarkie would necessarily reach for that option.
I think they'd be blind.
Do you think
panic.
Of conversation as battle?
No. But I think there's a. This is panic,
no,
isn't it?
The party. In the heat of this party going on and all this going on, I don't think Clarkie's going to be. I think the next day, Clarkie will go, that's what I should have done.
Well, bear in
but
mind.
I think here.
Bear in mind, Robbins didn't even come to it immediately. That wasn't even Robbins' first instinct. So, and he's here in a much more relaxed situation.
I think. Am I allowed to throw in a second option?
I tell you what, yes, because you're on Clarkie's team.
So, because of Clarkie's history in improvisation drama, he goes, well, what better way for us all to get to know each other than playing a quick improv game? Everybody, write your name on a sticker and put it on your head. And everyone has to say your name in the style of an animal or something like that, where it's sort of, he turns
what
it into like a warm-up game.
he'd turn it into a sort of drama workshop, basically.
I thought Clarkie would do one of two things. I think he would either say, let's all drink and engineer some kind of finishing your drink kind of situation, like down your pints kind of thing. Or he'd say, let's all just bloody dance. And like, I love this tune. And then get everyone like, hey, and let's just engineer a larger, more party thing than this.
He'd start a conga line
going on. Yeah. So it's either a conga line or a dance or finish your drinks. I think that's where we're looking at.
He create a happening.
Yes.
Yes.
Not probably not faint, but I think. In fact, I remember I was at a house party with Crosby very early on when I met him. Anyway, he pretended to faint.
Oh yeah.
Just to make something happen because it was quite a boring party. We all carried him into the kitchen and everyone was making a fuss. And then after about 15 minutes, he kind of winked at me and went, I'm only joking.
It wasn't 15 minutes. I didn't let them make a fuss. I moved for 15 minutes. It was 15 seconds, but it was fun to pretend to pass out.
It was a long time.
It was a good time.
I think we would go with, yeah, I think we'd go with that, like a happening, a dancing, let's dance, let's drink, let's something like that.
Clarky, back you come, mate. You're at a party and you see an old flame. They approach the group you're with and say, aren't you going to introduce me? The trouble is, you've forgotten their name. What would Ben Clark do?
Well, of course, I'd improvise a poem.
Yes. Go on. Okay, so go on. You'd improvise a poem. How would that go?
Oh, well. Well.
Imagine tonight.
Imagine it. Today's the day. No. What I'd do is I did a classic thing of introducing the other people. So I'd say, oh, well, this is Matthew and Tom and John and Susie. And then I'd try and keep the conversation going long enough that the other people do the job for me.
I can tell you now, you know what? Robbins gets the point.
Yes.
There. Robbins, I'm gonna give it to him. He gave three answers and one of them was right. It's a buckshot approach to winning the round, but nevertheless, he won it. Parry, you're up next. So, a bird lands on your window ledge and begins talking to you in fluent English.
Yes.
What do you do?
Great.
Off you go. Okay. What would Tom Parry do? Okay. He's muted himself, but he's kept his headphones on. It's a strange manoeuvre.
I just warmed off. Yes. I still have my headphones
on.
He's
taken them off now. Okay, good. He's taken the headphones off. Okay. Right. We will start with Susie. What do you think Tom would do?
I think he'd immediately text you two.
I mean, that's true. Yeah. The WhatsApp would be a buzz. What do you think his plan would be for? Of course, it'd be a flutter. What do you think his plan would be for the bird?
Well, I think he'd try and keep it and force it to become a double act with him.
He'd squeeze us out.
I think it would be
Flappy's Fun Club.
Oh yes!
Oh yes!
Yes, oh God! Mate. I can't, even the thought of that is bringing me out in a in a hot flush. Oh dear.
Yeah, I think it'd be like a new Orville situation.
He could be the next Keith Harris. I think it's a smart play actually. Yeah. He could become, you know, Parry is always talking about how to become a TikTok star or what to do on Twitch. And I feel like if it was a guy with a little talking bird, you'd watch that TikTok, wouldn't you? That's got viral.
It's perfect for Twitch.
That's got viral.
You'd have to teach.
Twitching,
you'd have to teach the bird how to put on a t-shirt and take it off.
Exactly.
Again.
Exactly.
Surely you tweet it, guys.
You've got, well.
Of course.
Clarky, lovely stuff there. a bonus point for that. No, no, look, I can't.
Come on.
I can't in good conscience. Clarky and Robbins, what do you think Parry would do?
He'd kill it, wouldn't he? He'd kill it.
He would.
He'd freak out, snap its neck in a matter of
I think they'd get chatting and they'd fall in love.
Oh. And
I think he would immediately sort of think, oh my God, I'm going to make my fortune with this talking bird. But he'd sort of forget that as they started to get on really well. And they'd just become, it would become one of the great love stories. And I'm sorry to say, I think you'd end up having sex with the boy.
You're sorry to say it. We're sorry to hear it.
He's going to elope with a bird. He's going to migrate with a bird.
Yeah, he's going to. Oh my God.
I thought him having sex with a bird was. I mean, that's in all of our answers, right?
Oh, yeah, of course. Oh, yeah.
He fucks. And then he fucks the bird.
And yeah, exactly. So what's the journey up to it? So, Parry. A bird lands on your window ledge and begins talking to you in fluent English. What would a Tom Parry do in that situation?
So, I mean, I mulled this over and was like, I can think of some funny options. And then the true option hit me and it was so true. I was like, oh my God, that's exactly what would happen in real life. Like, I was thinking of like some fun stuff like, invite them to live with me, become a crime fighting duo, all this kind of stuff. But actually, the real answer, and this is 100% true, is persuade them to let me direct their Edinburgh show.
I would like 100%. By the end of the conversation, I'd be like, convince them they've got a brilliant Edinburgh show in them, and get them to agree for me to direct it. And then we would fucking clean up, mate.
I'm going to give newcomer. I'm giving Susie
newcomer
the
on a plate. Newcomer on a plate.
I'm going to give Susie the point there because, I mean, former double act, but effectively, yeah.
I said you'd former double act.
Take it into the entertainment realm, and there you go. You're taking it. And also, you know.
Who's not seeing that Edinburgh show? Who is not seeing that Edinburgh show?
It's a talking bird. I mean, I love the fact that that's the, you know, you've got a talking bird, a miracle, and you think, oh, I could probably do a show in the above.
We'll start in the attic.
has got 100 seats tonight, hasn't it?
Absolutely.
Well, congratulations, Susie, there. You score the point. All that remains is to find out what producer Gwyn would do.
What were the other options, please?
Oh, well.
Robin's thought you'd fuck it.
Yeah. Robin's thought you'd fuck it. I thought you'd freak out and kill it.
You don't have to talk to a bird to fuck it, right?
I said you'd get talking and fall in love and then have sex. I didn't just go, he'd fuck it. I said you'd get chatting and fall in love.
I like that. Fall in love. That's beautiful.
I mean, it could still, you know, that answer could still happen as well, because you know what it's like up in Edinburgh.
In Edinburgh.
The late nights, you know, you're basically...
That breaks my director's code.
You're the one taking them under their wing.
Next year, you're up there, and the pigeon bumps into you in the street, and you have to introduce it to all your friends, and you've forgotten its name.
All that remains is to find out what producer Gwyn would do when I ask for the scores. Producer Gwyn, what are the scores?
So the scores are: Ben and John have 5.5. Tom and Susie have 3.
Oh, Ben and John are in the lead. So from what would we do to what should they do? It's Beef Brothers.
Well, if you got a problem, don't call it a problem. If you got a problem, call it a beef. If you got a beef, maybe we can help you. Beef Brothers sorting out your beef.
Yes, it's Beef Brothers, where each week we ask our panellists to sort out a flat share-based beef. And this one comes from Dan, who writes... My tenancy agreement with my housemate James, friend of many years and housemate of 2, is coming to an end. We've both decided the current flat isn't right for us anymore. James wants to move to a 2-bed flat together that's slightly further out of town and closer to his family. But I don't want to live with James anymore. I've been fortunate enough to find myself in a better financial position than when we first moved into the current flat. I'm now interested in getting a 1-bed flat of my own. This is something I've wanted for years, and I'm finally in a position to do so. Many of my friends who are married or have kids say they really regret never having lived alone when they had the chance, and I know I would too. And honestly, even if I couldn't afford a place to myself, I don't like the area James has his heart set on, and there have been a fair few things over the years about our flat sharing situation I found less than harmonious. I'm feeling really guilty about this, as I know if I stop living with him, he'll have to move in with strangers, and I hate to put him in that situation. We've had a brief conversation where I mentioned I was thinking about going off on my own, and we both agreed to think it over the next week or two. Since then, he's been suspiciously nice and constantly saying how great it is living together. He's suddenly baking bread, vacuuming, and letting me choose what we watch on TV. I know him well enough to know he's just trying to guilt trip me into staying, so please help me. How do I tell him my mind's made up without ending our friendship, and how can I overcome the guilt of putting a friend in a position I wouldn't want him to be in? Okay. Right. So, Susie, we'll start with you. What would be your immediate thoughts for advice for Dan?
Don't share it on a podcast.
It's a little too late for that. The toothpaste out of the tube.
Was that part of the reason he doesn't want to live with him?
That's one.
This is tricky. We've all moved out of. I mean, we've all had tricky situations when we've left flat shares for. Leaving flat shares for partners and things.
Mm-hmm. But he's not even leaving for a partner. He's leaving to be on his own.
You know what he's saying is a life of solitude.
Yeah, it's better than living.
It's preferable
with you.
Than living with you. Yeah. I just think he needs to be honest. I know that's not a funny answer.
But it's a strong answer. He's looking for genuine advice here. So,
okay. So I just think you say I don't want to live there, and I also really want to experience something on my own. That's got nothing to do with how much I like you. I think we should still hang out all the time. I think you're brilliant. You know, you'll be welcome to come around and have tea, but fundamentally, fuck off.
Right. So honesty leading up to fundamentally fuck off.
Robbins, what's your advice for Dan?
I think he only really needs to get himself out of the equation for the next month or so while the flatmate is finding somewhere else. So, you know, to take a sort of wartime action, he could give himself an injury that kept him in hospital for sort of 3 weeks. In the meantime, the guy has to sort other accommodation, can't afford to pay for two places. Or he could sort of fake a family emergency. Look, I've got to go back with my folks just for 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Or rehab or something like that.
I think I'm going to say now, as a little bit of advice, moving it back in with your parents probably better than an injury that lays you up in hospital for 3 weeks. I mean,
well, it depends what your relationship with your parents is. But if
it does
he
depend
could,
on that, yeah.
If he could just take himself out of the decision process for long enough for his friend to have to make a choice.
Force his hand.
Yeah, force his hand.
Force his hand. Clarkie, what do you think?
Fate your own death. Mm. Probably. Yeah. Seems the best way to, save his feelings.
So do a canoe man on it. Just disappear completely, presumed dead.
Yes.
Right? Or fake a death in the flat.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
or
more
pretend
fun.
To faint.
It's always there in the back pocket, isn't it?
Every time they try to. Every time
or if you started. Poem. Yeah.
Improvise a really long poem.
Cook a really nice Italian meal and then do an improvised poem.
Okay.
Another thing you could do is price him out. Start Ooh, suggesting nice. Places that are clearly above his pay grade if you've got a bit of the old.
That's going to make his friend feel so bad, though.
Isn't that's it? That's true. That's torturing him, isn't it? Because if he's in a better financial situation, he's going, oh, we should move into this luxury apartment, and the guy can't afford
it.
Wouldn't
you almost be glad to be out of it then, though, if you start to go like, oh, mate, ugh.
So which one are you going to go for, Clark? Are you going to go for
fake your own death, of course.
Fake your own death.
Okay. One.
So we've got honesty. We've got take yourself out of the equation. We've got fake your own death. I mean, effectively, which is a way of taking yourself out of the equation. Parry. What are you thinking?
Think, well, there's something very bittersweet about this beef, and there's something quite like tragicomic about it. It feels exactly like it'd be the. Well, it's been like the subject of so many kind of like American teen movie type situations. Like that's, you know, it's like the end of an era.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, my initial reaction is to try and engineer like either like a drastic personality change or a behavioural change. That you've lived with this person for a long enough time now to know that if you came home one day dressed as a steampunk and was like, oh my, like, you know, suddenly being like, oh my God, have you watched, you know, Wild Wild West? Or, I don't know. And like, you suddenly, and like, you know, you just go at it for like 4 weeks of like, you've gone on this mad kind of trip and to become this different person so that when it comes to the conversation of moving to a new house, they're going to think differently.
Yeah.
So it's like, are you going to become like, you know, like one of those people who has an iguana on their shoulder all the fucking time.
Sure. Or a character, like, a local character.
Become a character and, you know, adopt some kind of affectation. Or
I'm really
like
liking Queen or something.
Like before, yeah, like, you know, define your personality
hey,
by
it
one
works.
Thing.
I my own.
just suddenly be like, well, this is who I am and this is what it is. And like, but choose the thing that ultimately you're engineering a situation where your friend is going to have to gently let you down.
Yeah.
So you've got to. Therefore, they're going to feel good about it. So actually, you're doing the right thing.
You've got to pick sort of like it's not quite their kryptonite, but something that they've got an aversion to, but they're going to feel more sort of sympathy for you than they are going to feel. Yes.
Well, also, this person said that their financial situation has improved, so they've got a bit of money to throw at the problem, so they could, like, get into cycling in a really tedious way and get, like, 4 or 5 bikes that take up all of the hallway.
They're all in the kitchen. They're on different fucking levels. Yeah. They're on the walls.
The kitchen's full of those little gels, you know.
Your cycling gear. That, or if you have got money to throw at the problem, do that fucking thing where you decrease the size of their slippers over 4 weeks until they think they're going, they're having problems.
Well, like, if the slippers are more expensive than bikes.
And then get them sectioned. Yeah, that's the other way to go.
Gaslight them through footwear.
Yeah, twit them and then get
them
sectioned.
How do you decrease the size of slippers gradually?
You buy 5 identical pairs of their piece of, and then you keep replacing them until they think, growing.
If they're identical, they're not decreasing, mate.
Clarky makes a very, very good point.
It's not a bad take.
Makes a very,
very
strong point.
It's not a bad take.
So
give him a bonus point.
Give me a bonus point for you there, Clarky. I've got to give you a bonus point, mate.
Cheers.
Okay, well, now, obviously, I can't make the decision myself because I don't want James moving in with me. So instead, I call upon our live audience. Go to our profile on Twitter. It's at Pappy's Tweet. Our pinned tweet lets you vote for who you think should win. Now,
and then once you do that, go to my Twitter and retweet the great memes about the Suez Canal.
Get on Clarky's Twitter, Ben Pappy Clark. Get on there. And even if you're listening to this podcast, obviously there are people watching this live, but if you're listening to this podcast, you know, down the line, search through his tweets, give him a, you know, give him a retweet. They're good stuff. Absolutely. Man, they're good stuff. I can reveal, I'm going to stop it there. It's neck and neck with two of the answers. I can tell you, with 12%, John Robbins, I'm afraid. Ooh. With the go AWOL for a bit, with 18%. It's Ben Clark with Fake Your Own Death. But splitting the votes, I'm going to give you a point each, 35% each. And of course, no points to Clarky. Susie Ruffle with Be Honest. Tom Parry with Become Awful / Weird. 35 points each. That's 2 points to you guys. Congratulations.
Wow-wee.
Next.
What a big round. That's a big round for
us. A big round for you guys. Two points. Right. While Clarky basks in the glory of his huge viral success, He really, you're like that Dan Blazarian guy. You really are. I'm going to see you with a cigar and models on your arm. It's time to turn over to Clarky and to Tom with the quick fire round jingle. Here it is.
This is the quick fire round. It's a round that goes really quickly, which is why it's so weird that it has a long introduction. Ooh, it defies all logic. It's got a long introduction, and that's very strange. But here's the thing, this is the first time I have sung it, and really, does it have a long introduction? Because it's Tom singing. Ooh, that could be the case. If it's just Tom singing, maybe that's why it's so long. 'Cause it's me, I imagine we could just get into it. I've got no reason to muck around and make it much longer. Ooh, what's my motive? I think it's just a Tom thing, and really in my hands there should be no reason for me to dally, or for me to delay. I could just crack straight in to the quick fire round.
That would be nice.
Imagine that wonderful scenario. No Tom, no long intro. Well, I don't know about you, but I found that a breath of fresh air. No parry, and none of his silly stretching out what's normally a long intro. But this time it doesn't have to be. Thanks for listening.
Oh, gorgeous. Clarky, can I just say a bonus point? Gorgeous work there. Gorgeous work from Tom Parry Ben Clark there. Yes, this is the quickfire round. And as our show is all about changing the locks, I'm going to ask our players to put their answers behind lock and key. You say the word lock, then your answer, then the word key. So actually it's behind lock and in front of key, but let's not make the game any more complicated than it already is. Instead of buzzers, I would like you to shout out your first names. Okay, here are our questions. What is the soft item of clothing you wear on your foot?
Susie. Lock, sock, key.
Is correct. Dwayne Johnson is known by what stage name?
Susie.
John. I think Susie was just there first.
Lock, rock, key.
Is correct. Name the area of water where you might park a yacht.
Ben.
John. Oh, fuck. Oh, good.
Lock, dock, key.
Is correct. Oxo cubes are dehydrated what?
John.
Tom.
John.
Lock, stock, key.
Is correct. A Chinese round bottom cooking pot is called a what?
John.
Tom.
John.
Lock, wok, key.
Is correct. Big Ben is actually the name of
Tom.
The
Tom. John.
Tom.
Lock, clock, key.
No, it's actually the name of the bell.
Bell.
If you're you seem to be stopping someone from getting off with someone else, that is known
John.
As
Susie.
Robbins.
Tom.
Lock, cock, block, key.
Is correct. What is the first name of the boxer played by Sylvester Stallone?
Tom.
Susie.
John.
Tom, I think you were Tom, I think you were just there first.
Lock, Rocky, key.
Is correct. What was Guy Ritchie's first movie?
Tom.
John, I think was just there first.
Whoa.
Lock, stock and barrel, key.
Ooh, oh, no. I was Tom, give us the correct answer.
Oh, fuck.
Lock, stock and two smoking barrels, key.
Is correct. What do you call a man who races on horseback?
Tom. John.
Susie.
Tom.
Lock, jockey, key.
Is correct. Name the Chinese-owned video-sharing social networking site.
Ben. Lock, TikTok, key.
Is correct. What is the name of the
team? Have you TikToked about the Suez Canal? It's only a matter of time.
I did a little dance to it. Yeah.
What was the name of the TV detective series starring Benedict Cumberbatch and Martin Freeman?
Tom.
John.
Tom.
Lock, Sherlock, key.
Is correct. That is the quickfire round. The game is over. So...
I found that very stressful.
It was a bit stressful.
I've got to say, it was too much.
Really, really intense. Well, don't worry
about the entire thing, right?
Yeah, I hated that.
It's
like
a really bad time, guys.
You got through it.
I always let people know when I finish their podcast. I hated that.
I really didn't enjoy that.
Awful.
Imagine if I didn't enjoy that. Could you please rebook me? So there we go. That's over. So before we find out the final scores, that is over, guys. Guys, I can't stress enough. That is over. But before we find out the final scores, Susie, your treat for that punishment. Anything you'd like to plug?
Oh, I've got some podcasts. If you like that sort of thing,
which we do.
I've got a podcast with Tom Allen called Like Minded Friends, where we chat about absolutely nothing. It's basically white noise for gays, but you don't have to be gay to enjoy it. And then I also have another podcast. It's a bit more earnest, where I interview inspiring people from the LGBTQIA+ community.
Fantastic. And Robbins, anything you would like to plug?
Yeah. Well, I've just started up a mailing list. I thought I should really get on the sort of the back of this emerging communication technology, and there is an announcement I'm making on Monday. So if anyone wants to sign up to my mailing list, go to just it's on my social media or getreview.co/profile/John Robbins.
Great. Give us a exclusive. What's the announcement? Come on, tell us.
I can't tell you.
Give us a little exclusive.
Come on, we need this, mate. We need this. We need this for the numbers. Give us a...
If you've done a meme about the Suez Canal, I'm going to go fucking insane.
Have you worked out how to move that boat? Are you gonna, is that your announcement? This is how to fix it. Because don't do it yet, mate, because Clarky's getting good gear out of that at the moment.
It's nothing like super... I'm very excited, but it's nothing like... I mean, it's in the general realm of the sorts of things comedians announce.
Is it a tour?
No.
Oh, thank
Fuck
God.
No. God, too scared.
Is it a pod?
I could neither confirm nor deny. So let's leave it then.
You better not be interviewing inspiring people from the queer community. Oh, no, fucking livid, Robbins.
I'm interviewing really uninspiring people from the queer community. Really.
Oh, can I come on? Plug my podcast.
Oh, thanks. Thanks to everyone at home for watching tonight. As always, check out our Patreon, patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare. There's loads of bonus stuff over there. If you're a fan of the podcast and want to give us a donation, that's the way to do it, because you give us
some
cash.
That's the way to do it.
We get to give you the three bonus episodes that we do every single week, or want to get a ticket to a live show. The next one is on April 20th with Evelyn Mock and Tony Law, and the tickets are available right now. In fact, they'll be in the show notes for the episode you are listening to this moment. Search Pappy's Flat Show on eventbrite.co.uk or check out our Twitter or Facebook for links for that. If you can't join the Patreon, you can't watch a live show, you can't follow us on social media, then just recommend
this.
Then
what can you do?
Yeah, then just recommend this to a friend, or leave us an iTunes review. But I mean, get on social media, because there's some really great stuff popping over at Clarkie's page.
get political online.
If
guys,
anyone is gutted that the MASH report's not coming back, get yourself to Clarkie's page. It's the same thing, effectively.
Climb aboard the boat and get jammed.
So Clarkie, is Ian... So Clarky, is Ian home? Is he the Suez Canal in that
yeah,
one?
Yeah, he's the Suez Canal. See, that okay. that means we're going round a bit. See,
yeah. So he's choosing to keep the boat. He's
yeah,
the Suez Canal
yeah,
is
yeah, that's it.
It's good.
I didn't understand
it's good. But it takes a little a little thinking time. It's like one of Steve Bell
I haven't watched Lord of the Rings.
The ring's not stuck on his finger, is it?
Yeah, if the ring got stuck on his finger.
But the narrative there is saying that Suez Canal's actually like, do you know what? I'm gonna hold on to this boat. Like the Suez Canal like wants the boat. That's
you're
what's
flipping
going on.
The narrative.
Yeah,
that's. I'm switching the narrative 90 degrees and jamming it down Twitter's throat.
I think it's good, strong stuff, and I think I can tell Papari and Robbins a little bit jealous of a viral success. A little bit jealous that we've got Twitter's Zoella on the show today. You know, but you're doing great stuff there, Clarky. Well
mate.
Worth a follow,
thanks.
Ben Pappy Clark, for all your Suez related memes. Do you do anything about the Suez crisis from the 1950s? Have you got any gear on that?
I've got a load of stuff about sinking cement boats. So you'll love it.
I can't wait. Right. The other thing I can't wait for is producer Gwyn to give us the final scores. Tell us how this game has played out. I've got no idea.
The scores are very close. Clarkie's bonus points doing a lot of heavy lifting today.
Like the Thomas who's out itself.
Yeah, we wish was doing a bit of heavy lifting.
Tom and Susie have 12. Ben and John have 13.5.
Unbelievable.
My God.
Unbelievable.
So Tom and Susie, you've got to change the locks, while Ben and John, you get to run your fingers through mine. Thanks to our guests, Susie Ruffle and John Robbins. We've been Pappy. See you next time on Flatshare Slamdown. Flatshare Slamdown featured Matthew Crosby, Ben Clark and Tom Parry, with special guests Susie Ruffle and John Robbins. It was devised by Pappies and Ben Walker. Technical expertise was by Emma Corsham and help from Gwyn Rhys-Davies. It was produced by Emma Corsham. Big thanks to everyone who watched the show live to Zoom and YouTube. You are the digital wind beneath our wings. Pappies Flatshare Slamdown is a secret news production for Acast and the internet. Cheers everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Flatshare Slamdown.
Oh, I hated that.
Thank you.
You and me both. Oh.
Well, there you go. Nothing wrong with that.
You know what?
Absolutely. A lot of people have been saying there was a lot wrong with it, but actually, do you know what? We're going to say now there is nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got your complaints, send them in. I'm not going to accept them. You know what I mean?
Do go to the trouble of sending them in, though. We can't stress that enough.
We love the correspondence.
Yeah. In fact, we got a message in to our pappiesflatshare@gmail.com address.
Oh, great email address.
A great way to get in touch.
About our Stevie Martin episode.
Oh, yeah.
Would you like to hear it?
I mean, complaints.
It's not necessarily a complaint. This is from Brian, who writes, tortoises do not drink through their bottoms. I thought this was an amazing fact, so I tried to confirm it with my vet friend. I'm so sad to tell you, it's a myth. Vets usually warn new owners not to believe anything they read about tortoises online, as the bum drinking myth is huge on the internet, and placing your tortoise in a bowl of water can actually be dangerous, as they could drown.
No.
They drink through their mouths a bit, but they mostly hydrate through the water in their food. Any water absorbed into cloaca is usually because a small vacuum has been generated inside them. However, they squirt it out almost straight away. I'm sorry to spoil this otherwise wonderful story. Hope you're well.
Big.
Have
oh
fun.
My God, this is
Shelfie.
Massive.
Now, we that was Brian Shelfie, by the way, of course.
Shelfie boy.
Shelfie boy, yeah. So, I know we don't normally do back names, but in Shelf's case, we make an exception. But we really should. I mean, we really should contact Stevie. More importantly than telling the listeners, I need to forward this message on to Stevie.
Yeah.
But after we recorded that Beef Brothers cold cuts with her, she's asked us to never contact her again. So we're in a bit of an impasse here. What do we do?
That is fair enough. We could just print it out, tie it to a brick through the window. She'll be fine with it. Tied to a tortoise through the window.
That's absolutely shocking to the core.
You know what, though? It's quite nice to have an episode where it's the guest getting something totally wrong.
Yeah,
normally that's very much our
thing. Strange. Well, that's my brother actually mentioned in the family group last night. It talked about the dodgy animal facts in our podcast, and I was like, what? And just assumed it was me. I was like, what have I said this time?
What facts was he talking about?
Well, presumably that. It must have been the tortoise thing.
Yeah.
But he never responded.
Do you think this is enough to get Stevie's Legend of Lockdown rescinded? Do you think there's going to be a big fallout from this?
Nothing would make Tom happier than to see all of the Legends of Lockdown stripped of their medals. I don't know. I mean, what I'll do is I'll forward this message onto Stevie, but I'll also CC in Steve Bennett of Chortle.
Great.
Exactly. Exactly. It has to be done. It's the least we can do for tortoises everywhere, really.
I'm just going to warn you, though, he doesn't reply to emails. I've been emailing him a lot recently. getting nothing back.
Well, anyway, today's episode was produced, as ever, by Emma Caution.
Caution team.
Stay tuned for the Patreon Neighbourhood Watch roll call. Otherwise, we'll see you soon. Cheers, everyone.
Bye.
I've got something I would like to say.
I can't tell if you're shy or if you're singing.
Well, that's part of the reason why I've called the meeting.
Okay. It's the meeting of the people who are either very shy or in a musical.
I'm pleased to announce that I used to be shy. I used to hide away until I decided that it was gonna be a different day.
Oh, yes.
I'm not shy anymore, but I'm not singing either. I've got a condition that I can't quite put my finger on. But will you please be upstanding for this Patreon Neighbourhood Watch roll call?
He's not shy anymore. He's just got his dick stuck in a drawer. That's why he loves to roar. boy's not shy anymore.
It's Tom Page.
Pagey.
Oh, he's not shy anymore because he's got his dick stuck in a sink and it's causing him problems. His name is Alex Jenkins.
He's not shy anymore. Oh dear, he's got his dick stuck in the drawer. Get it out. It's that plea. Yes, it's envy. Whoa, he's not shy anymore. He's not heavy anymore. Oh, In fact, he's light as a feather. Everybody gather round and take a gander at Daryl Webster.
Oh, she suddenly got shy.
Oh, she's got shy.
Nobody really knows why. Oh. She's hiding respect. Her privacy, please. Leave her alone. Her name is Louise.
He wasn't shy in the first place. He's been running round shutting drawers on people. But please, don't give him all the blames. He's still a lovely guy, it's James. Oh, he's not hairy anymore.
No.
He's just been shaven. But it's made him shy to be so exposed. His name is Dan Craven.
Oh, he wasn't shy, but now he's shy all over because someone slammed his dick in a drawer.
No.
Who was it? I'll never name names, but I've got my suspicions that it was a James. I've got a list of suspects. They're big, they're from Paul to Ronald, but there's one who I'm gonna cross off the list. I know for a fact that it wasn't Ross McDonald.
Oh, but they're all big and they're all from Paul to Ronald.
It's a big list.
It's a list of big people from Paul to Ronald.
Ronald being the biggest and we all know it.
We arrange our lists in height order. Get to the back, Paul. Oh, he's not shy anymore. No, he's not shy anymore. He wasn't shy in the first place. He's been going round giving a good complaint. Everyone wants to shut his dick in the drawer. It's Daniel Goldswain. Oh, she's not shy anymore. She's not shy anymore. That's the news I've been fed about Alia Mohammed.
Oh, I'm feeling shy again. I'm feeling shy all over again. And to shyness I've had to yield, because I made a list where all the big ones were fair. Stephanie, Jennifer, Susie too, but top of the list was Sally Field.
Oh my god. Yeah. He's not shy anymore.
And then the
but he's got his dick stuck in that drawer. He can't get it out himself. He's trying to make a deals with somebody else. It's David Beals. He's somebody else.
Oh, my God, I am not shy anymore.
I want to tell the world about my life, my dreams, my hopes, my schemes, because I'm not shy anymore.
He's not shy anymore.
Walk straight out of the door. I'm I'm gonna say, hello world, accept me as I am. Take me for the man I always meant to be. Cause I'm not shy anymore.
Really not shy anymore.
I'm not shy anymore. I'm not shy anymore. And I'm ready to meet the person of my dreams. And I'm ready to breed. That's right, hunker down with me, William Reed. Cause we're not shy anymore.
He's not shy anymore.
We're not shy anymore.
But I'm feeling shy again. Oh, no. I went at my dick with a vegetable peeler. It all went wrong and now I really can feel a pain coursing through my veins.
Oh,
it's something I'll never do again.
He's got a vein coursing through his veins. He's got
I got veins on veins and it's causing me pain. I got veins in my veins and I'm feeling strong. But I'm not shy anymore.
He's not shy anymore.
And I'll tell you something for free. Paul Wheeler is near to me.
No, he just looks like he's near because he's so small.
Oh, he's not.
Is that right?
Is that right? He's out of the list.
That's the wrong way round.
Oh, Ronald, why are you so tall?
Ronald is big and Paul is small.
I got pain in my vein, I got pain in my vein, and so does my friend, Ollie Kane.
He's not shy anymore. I like the little the end. Well, that's good, strong stuff. For myself.
Absolutely concludes today's Neighbourhood Watch patron roll call.
Yeah.
Oh, pretty nice. Yeah. Pretty strong stuff.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.